Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Day for this Monday, April 22nd, 2013. Happy Earth Day, everybody. Be kind to Mother Earth Day. We are live each weekday, noon to 1, on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice, and it also happens to be Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We're live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we post the program and podcast it again to my website, tucsonsentinel.com and tucsoncitizen.com, and there are links on the home pages of Blog for Arizona and the Green Valley News at gvnews.com. Coming up on this newly minted Monday afternoon, the Monday Political Face-Off, commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. 30 minutes past the hour, Sam Worsinski, he's a former Arizona Secretary of State candidate. He's now head of the Arizona Advocacy Network. And then we'll close out the show with a gentleman who has written a book about earthquake prediction. Is it possible to predict the next big one for California? If you have a question or comment, we invite you to call us on our live line 790-2040, or you can post your question on our Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster. Bruce Ash is with us. Mr. Ash is the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom is former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. He was also served as the chair, statewide chair, for a brief time of the Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Paul and Bruce, good to see you both.
Yeah, thank you.
Good to be here.
Paul, you developed a cold on Saturday. You're trying to weather through it with all this nice weather.
I know. I hate that. Whenever whenever the weather turns nice and it's a weekend, you don't want to have a cold. You want to get out and do something.
Well, Bruce and I did not shake your hand
when
you walked into the Buckmaster studio here. Bruce, how was your weekend?
It was good. Thank you.
It was good. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Tucson has some serious business issues. We all know that. There's a new Market Watch report that lists the top cities for business growth, and Tucson is in the bottom 10. This comes out again from Market Watch, and they point out that UNS Energy Corporation is the only local company on the New York Stock Exchange. That's basically TEP, Unisource Energy. And here's what MarketWatch said, Bruce and Paul, about our community. Nearby Phoenix seems to drain all the economic energy from this state, but Tucson is primarily a university military town. It ranks in the top five in terms of patents issued and is in the top half in the education level and unemployment rate. Your reaction to that, Bruce?
Well, I think that is a generally accurate version of what Tucson looks like. You know, it's amazing that we've got this incredible intellectual and potentially economic generator with the University of Arizona, as well as our proximity to the Mexican border. And we don't seem to have really ever truly harnessed the value anywhere even remotely close to the value of those two incredible resources of what could be a great economic engine, maybe not quite as large as Phoenix, but certainly one that could propel us wealth-wise and opportunity-wise here in our city.
Historically, there's been a couple things that have been a little bit of an anchor on us for economic growth, and that is, one, the state legislature is Maricopa-centric. So all the goodies go to—
Most definitely. Yeah, always has been.
Yeah, and so the state resources, all the goodies go to Maricopa County. Mm-hmm. And the other anchor that's been a problem is over the years, we had this kind of shooting war between environmental community and developers over real estate issues and development issues on real estate. And we seem to always look at that was our business future was real estate, and we became a retirement community because of that. And I think we lost sight of developing a diversified economic base. Now that that shooting war is kind of over with the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan telling us where we're going to develop, where we're not, and with the university, which has always been there as a great research facility, there's one other thing with the proximity of Mexico that Bruce mentioned. You know, I know Mayor Rothschild and previous leaders in this community, and now Mayor Rothschild is really pushing for it, is trying to develop us as a transportation hub for trade coming up from Mexico and helping with a regional effort where Guaymas becomes a deep water port for trading with you know, bringing in trade goods there and then up through the – you know, we're natural. We have a railroad here. We have an airport here. We've got an air base here. We have an interstate going through here. And with the interstate being connected up with Las Vegas now as a two-lane all the way – I mean a four-lane divided all the way, that means it can all go all the way up to Canada as a trade route. And, you know, we go on I-10 to the east and we go I-10 and I-8 to the west. I think – if we actually plan for once
in this community, the potential certainly is there.
We could actually become – if you become a transportation hub, then all of a sudden numerous industries want to move here, and you can diversify your economy.
Well, all of that is true. But the fact is that some of the real estate wars and I would say some of the class wars are still going on here, particularly in the city of Tucson. And none of that has really changed. You know, Paul, the very first ordinance passed by the city council when Jonathan Rothschild became mayor of Tucson in December of 2011 was an ordinance declaring a environmental emergency here in Tucson, Arizona. And we really haven't, nor would I expect any city council to be, you know, passing ordinances that are, you know, quote-unquote business friendly. You know, it doesn't happen even in the most business friendly places. But the fact of the matter is that there really is not an environment that still exists here. A coordination, a synergy of capital and resources. Bill said something, and it kind of just flew past. This is the number five location in the country for the development of patents.
Yeah, research. So in other words, there are a lot of very smart people.
Really smart people. really smart people.
Yeah.
And sometimes Paul would tend to focus on TUSD as being this a problem district because of funding from the state legislature, but he fails to mention that amphitheater schools and flowing well schools and Vail and Sarita and Catalina Foothills and many other school districts, you know, including those in Cochise County, have outstanding schools and graduate loads and loads of children. The University of Arizona is this incredible place. And if we only made it a better environment for graduates to actually stay here and to start companies, why is it that people, I mean, all of us love the desert and we love the climate and the beautiful surroundings around us, but we don't really place an importance on startup companies and all the different types of venture capital projects that seem to happen in Phoenix, not just because the legislature gives out the goodies, but in places like Albuquerque and San Antonio and El Paso and San Diego and so on. I mean, this could be a fabulous place. And you know, you go back to 1978, Paul and Bill, we did two things. Number one, we turned down a major electronics firm that wanted to build semiconductors out on the west side. And B, we failed to approve the Butterfield Crosstown Expressway. Yeah. We are one of the only cities in the entire country that doesn't have some sort of internal freeway system to get people from one place to another interior in the city. A shame.
That's history. I don't know if we can change a lot of that history, but what we can do is start planning for the future. And I mean, the one thing I know about Mayor Rothschild is he wanted to have that job. Years ago, he talked to me about it because he thought we needed a distinct plan, economic plan for the future. and a long-term plan. That's something we've never really done in this community. I mean, people come here. It is got – we kind of have a manana attitude at times because we're laid back. But, you know, we got to be go-getters to get industries here so we have good-paying jobs for our community and pull us out of – I mean, we have the second highest poverty rate in the country, Arizona does, and Tucson is very poverty-stricken because of that. And you wouldn't know it if you go on the north side, but go on the south side of town. It's very – there's a lot of poor people in this community, and they don't – they're just begging for a good-paying job. And I think long-term planning is important and taking action.
And you don't get that through the hotel business and, right. And mostly construction jobs and so on. You get that through jobs that come with larger companies that would decide to be here. You know, we have a lot of placeholders, and I don't want to slam any of the placeholders that show up in places like the Chamber of Commerce or SALC. I'm sure they're all good people.
That's going to be my next question about these turf battles and protecting your turf.
But these are all placeholders. There's very few stakeholders, and frankly, the stakeholders that do exist in this town, they've kind of shrunk because there is a perception that they are not welcome, and if they just can kind of keep quiet and keep under the radar, everything's going to be okay.
All right. We've looks like a full board. So people do want to talk about this. I did have another topic, but I think I'm going to actually blow that off, and you actually had promoted on your Facebook. But I'm going to stay with this topic about economic development. We were going to talk about immigration and perhaps it being
And immigration is part of this as well, yeah. But I think the economic development, that's how we put food on the table, friends.
Exactly.
That's what we do every day.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to hear from we're going to take a break, hear from all the fine lineup of Buckmaster Show sponsors. Then we're going to get to – got at least three calls here on the Buckmaster Show live line, folks that want to talk about this subject and economic development. And then we will be right back on the Monday Political Face-Off with Paul and Bruce.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is here and Paul Ackerstrom. We're talking about economics and economic development and Tucson's growth rate. This portion of the Face-Off, actually the Face-Off, is always presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Thank you, Moe, for your support. Moe, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. I continue to send folks over to Moe, and I have yet to have anyone say they were not completely satisfied with Moe's service. Let's go now to Chuck. Chuck, you were up first on the Buckmaster Show live line. Hey, Chuck.
Yes, I heard just a moment ago both your guests talking about good-paying jobs and how we need them in this community. And maybe these gentlemen can explain to me why, for heaven's sakes, is the county and other fractions within this community fighting so hard to drive Rosemont Mine out of this, you know, from doing business. I mean, after all, these are good-paying jobs. They don't require a college degree to fulfill these jobs. And, again, they're good-paying.
Okay, thanks, Chuck.
I'll take your answer off the road. Thank you.
Okay. Who wants to go first on that?
Well, you know, mining jobs, Chuck, are great, and not just the ones where they're working in the pit or driving the trucks. You probably know this already. You sound like you're very knowledgeable. There is a veritable engineering army that exists right here in Tucson, literally hundreds and hundreds of very highly paid engineering people and engineering companies who have been doing work on this mine and a bunch of others that have been developed and are developing here in southern Arizona. Mining is part of our heritage and part of our history. It certainly shouldn't be the only focus of our economy, but it certainly is one where we could use those jobs. And, you know, Charles, another thing that very few people really ever talk about, as of last spring, there were nearly 8,000 mining jobs in the state of Arizona that were unfilled. Just kind of an amazing statistic.
You know, this is a tough one for me because I kind of fall on both sides of this. I mean, I've always been a supporter of labor unions, and, you know, Rosemont's a labor company, so it's a union company, and I think there's good jobs there. The problem with Rosemont on the other side of the coin is that it's potentially damaging to our aquifer, and that's what needs to be. Really, we got to proceed very carefully because that aquifer is our future in Tucson. And if we pollute it, then we're not going to exist here
All
in
right.
Tucson.
So. Terry is up next. Terry, you have a comment for us?
Yes, sir. Now, first, I want to thank you and everybody there, your panel.
Thank you.
And I also want to thank Rick Grinnell for a great presentation of pro why we should have jobs here.
Oh, that was last Thursday's debate on Rosemont.
And the Corps of an Engineer, I'll be taking them out for lunch, so we're going to do a pass there. Now, look, in all seriousness now, we have politicians who either mean it or don't mean it, and he's a Democrat, and I hate to mention it, but I'm going to. Grijalva and Raul, Democrat. Now, he started all this, Tucson and Arizona, and statewide, and that's, You need not to come down here. You need to boycott. And what I get tired of him going on the floor of the well of the Senate, of the Congress and spewed all this venom of Tucson okay. and on NBC, you know, the Alphabet yeah. Network. So, and that hurt, yes, that okay. hurt everybody here in Tucson.
So, Terry, thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you, Terry. About the boycott, yeah.
Well, let me elaborate a little bit more on Rosemont and mining. You know, my fiance is in the mining industry, and it's an important component of our economic future. The problem is we need to break out of that mold and diversify to more and more types of jobs in this community. And I'm not saying Rosemont shouldn't necessarily be a mine here. I'm just saying that we need to plan for a future that's beyond what we have now, which is a much more diversified economic future, and we have the components here. We have good transportation hubs here that we could take advantage of. We got the university and its research facilities. There's no reason. I think what's held us back is good long-term planning and real strong leadership in terms of being able to diversify our economic base here.
Let me get back to something that Terry talked about and Paul talked about it briefly, and that was the historic conservation plan that was proposed and really promoted by Raul Grijalva. There's probably not been any one thing that government has done that has caused taxpayers and homeowners in this town more money than the Sonoran Conservation Plan. Not only the hundreds of millions of dollars of private lands that were, you know, taken back into the public, but also when you take all of that inventory out of the market, you increase the pricing and the value of that property, even though we've seen some, you know, some economic recession recently. But overall, in the future, the cost of doing that Sonoran Conservation Plan was an incredibly high cost for all the homeowners and all the people who were involved in that business here in this county. And this is just part and parcel with the sorts of things that we do here in Pima County. All the city of Tucson talks about, you know, wanting to have a green and sustainable kind of economy, but that doesn't come without a tremendous cost.
Charles Heller is up next. Charles, go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Eckerstrom. First of all, congratulations on getting married.
Oh,
and second of all, are you familiar with the work of Mr. Ruger and Sorens about the Freedom Index in the 50 states?
No.
There's a wonderful thing, a study done by two PhD professors, one in Connecticut, and I forget where the other one is, and I've had him on as guest on Liberty Watch. And it talks about the index of economic freedom of the various states and compares the states. And Arizona ranks about number 9 in terms of economic freedom in the U.S. But what's interesting is that the amount of economic freedom in each state relates directly to the amount of prosperity in that state. And I hear you both talking about planning. And I just wonder, what is the central plan for freedom? And it's not an it's not a rhetorical question. I'd really like to know, what's the central plan for freedom? I'd like to hear Mr. Eckerstrom's answer, and I'd like to hear Mr. Ash's answer.
Well, I'm not sure if you have more economic freedom, you have more prosperity. Is that the concept? Because, frankly, Arizona is number 2 in the country in poverty rate, and if that's your... I think we got a long ways to go to get to prosperity in this state. There's a lot of people doing very well, but there's an awful lot of people not doing very well, and that is a problem that, you know, we can go into over and over again. But I guess, you know, all I would like to see our community do, and this is I will argue a little bit with Bruce here. I think the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan was a good thing. It one preserved some of the best of our environment here. But it also gave us a plan, a future plan of where we're going to grow and develop, and settled that whole issue that was haunting us for 30 years. Now we can move on, hopefully, to developing a long-term plan for how we're going to develop good-paying jobs here and have a diverse economy.
The final comments. Do you want to address what Charles was going to say?
Yeah, I don't, Bill and Paul, I don't think I really had talked about planning at all. I don't think that it's as nearly as important as Paul would make it out to be. I think the free market should really be the planning vehicle that we use and that we exploit all of those parts of the free market system in order to build our economy, to grow opportunities, and to make sure that this is a vibrant and robust community for many generations to come. And that's really been my message and one that I think people in the Republican Party have been talking about here for years.
Bruce. And I just want to interject one thing here, Bill.
Real quickly,
the Democratic Party is putting together a business outreach committee, which I think the more communication we have among the different groups in this community and leaders in this community about what we do in our economic future, I think is important. And that's just one small thing.
Which only shows that the Democratic Party doesn't have a very good relationship with the business community.
And Monday, that's true. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gowrie and Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgowrie.com. Please stop by and say hello to Moe. They can take care of all of your custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, really do the whole thing for you, and they do it very well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The surviving Boston Marathon bombing suspect has been charged with using a weapon of mass destruction to kill, and it's a crime that carries a possible death sentence. Hundreds of family members and friends have mourned the death of Crystal Campbell at a church today in Medford, Massachusetts. The 29-year-old, one of three people killed at the Boston bombings. The White House says President Obama will attend a memorial service for victims of the fertilizer plant explosion in the town of West Texas. That service scheduled for Thursday. Up and down the East Coast, airports report flight delays. First weekday that thousands of air traffic controllers have been forced to take an unpaid day off because of those federal budget cuts. Wall Street, the Dow's up about 16 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. On this Monday, it is Earth Day, and if you're into bicycling, and so many people are here in Tucson, might be worth putting the bicycle in on top of the car or whatever, however you transport it, the SUV, and take it over to Silver City for the Tour of the Gila, that big bike race. It's a 5-day bicycle stage race over in Silver City, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. The race is May 1st through the 5th. Lot of great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, including Wildwood Retreat and Hot Springs and Wilderness Lodge. You can find out all about the area and the bike race by going to their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Coming up now on 12:35 on the Buckmaster Show, one of the pieces of legislation that Governor Brewer has signed into law is a bill that would eliminate all current caps on political campaign contributions and scrap the limit on how much any individual or political action committee can donate to all candidates in any year. This is a pretty big deal, and a lot of people are interested in this. Joining us now, one of those people, Sam Wersinski, former Secretary of State candidate in Arizona. Sam heads up the Arizona Advocacy Network, known for successfully defending Arizona's Clean Elections Act. Sam, how are you today?
Doing great, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing very well. And I think this is a story that probably has not received as much publicity here in Southern Arizona as it has up in Phoenix. But basically, what the governor did has just opened up all political contributions without any limit. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's the aggregate limits that we're talking about for individuals and political action committees. And, you know, we like to frame this as the bill for millionaires and billionaires being paid for, literally, by working Arizona voters.
Well, where did this come from, Sam?
Well, there were only four individuals or groups that signed in to support this particular bill. It originally was created, though, to avoid a lawsuit that was reportedly being filed by the Arizona Chamber of Commerce with the help of the Goldwater Institute against the Secretary of State and Clean Elections Commission. Bill Montgomery, the Maricopa County Attorney General, the Free Enterprise Club, and a couple of big money lobbyists signed in favoring this bill. Opposing it, we had, you know, literally hundreds and hundreds of working Arizona voters calling, emailing, showing up at the Capitol to speak to their lawmakers to vote against it. But it moved swiftly, and the governor then signed it very quickly.
Sam Wersinski is with us from the Arizona Advocacy Network. What are the implications of this as far as someone perhaps trying to influence our lawmakers?
Well, we are going to see just thousands, tens of thousands of more dollars coming in. And as we've seen with the Fiesta Bowl scandal, money is used to influence lawmakers, elected officials, to gain access to taxpayer money, quite honestly. And those groups with the ability to write checks for $5,000 or $10,000 for a candidate, they simply have gained more access, more influence, and quite honestly, more representation than your average working voter.
How could it impact, say, our education system?
Well, I'll tell you, Bill, that's a great question, because my fear is that we're going to see, you know, a bundle of big money contributors buying school boards now. And we all know that our public schools have a lot of tax money going into trying to improve public education for the majority of Arizona children. Just imagine being able to buy, you know, a majority on a school board and then changing the policies to allow perhaps the entire curriculum to be done online. We saw this actually happen in Tennessee, where a private company called K-12 pushed for legislation that would allow curriculum to be taught completely online, whether in a classroom or at home. And once that bill was passed, K-12 got a no-bid contract from the state of Tennessee to provide these services. And the real crime here is 95% of K-12's profits are reportedly tax dollars. That's just one example of how we see big money influencing policymaking in Arizona and across the country.
Now, this HB 2593 that was signed into law by the governor, it indirectly affects something very dear to your heart, and that is the 1998 voter-approved Citizens Clean Elections Act. Now, what are the implications there, Sam Wyszynski?
Well, it certainly violates the Voter Protection Act. House Bill 2593 violates this because it runs contrary to the voter intent when they pass clean elections. It also, this campaign finance bill was not passed with the supermajority required of 75% in both chambers. What this does, Bill, is it works counter to what the voters wanted when they passed the Clean Elections Act, and that was, we want to shift the focus back to voters, not donors. House Bill 2593 does just the opposite. It gives more importance to donors than it does working voters.
Is there a lawsuit in the works to stop this?
There are a number of groups, including Arizona Advocacy Network, discussing challenging this bill. We have time, fortunately, in this case, because the bill would not go into effect until 90 days after sine die. But our intent is to see a challenge in court to ask the court to block it from taking effect. At the same time, Bill, we continue to work with the legislature to pass more comprehensive campaign finance changes that would incorporate changes to the clean election system so that those candidates that want to focus on voters and not donors and run clean will be able to have a new supplemental funding mechanism, which we framed as the voter voucher program, and that's for another show. But it would allow them to be competitive again and to fulfill what voters want, and that is focusing on voters, not donors.
Wasn't there a piece of legislation that would limit how ballots are transported on Election Day?
Oh, yeah, there's several other election-related bills that, you know, we frame as a war on voters. Senate Bill 1261 and Senate Bill 1003 really make it harder for people to vote in Arizona. And this would not only impact how people are allowed to cast their ballots, but what groups can assist voters in delivering ballots on Election Day.
You know, getting back to this bill that the governor signed, HB 2593, there could be implications for our judicial system as well. And I know judges are, of course, not elected in Maricopa County or in here in Pima County, but in the rural counties, that is not the case.
Well, and you're absolutely right, Bill. It's another example that, you know, people aren't necessarily thinking of about this campaign finance bill that increases contributions from roughly $488 to $5,000 per person. 12 of our counties elect their judges, their Superior Court judges. Those have typically been very low dollar amount races. We can see individuals that want to influence how decisions are being made on our benches, in our courts, funnel money in there to get a particular individual on the bench. And again, we've seen this in states like North Carolina, where their Supreme Court judges have been elected to weigh influence on particular decisions that had millions and millions of dollars of ramifications. So the money in politics is big business. It helps special interests increase their profit margins, and those that are going to be paying for it are working Arizona voters.
Sam Wyrsinski, thank you very much. From the Arizona Advocacy Network, how can people find out more about what you do, Sam?
Bill, we've got lots of information on our website at azadvocacy.org, and thanks so much for having me today. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. And he's also on Facebook as well, Sam Wyrsinski. Coming up now on 12:45, it is our Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking about a very fascinating subject next up, about earthquake predictions. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:49 on the Buckmaster Show. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, I strongly recommend Benson's Bluegrass in the Park Festival. City of Benson puts this on now for the past 8 years. This will actually be the 8th annual, and that will be at Lions Park, just 45 minutes east of Tucson. There's a great lineup of bluegrass performers who will be taking part. It's a family fun event, free workshops, day camping, and it's going to be a great event over in Benson. Kids will get hands-on experience. You can see the complete schedule for Benson Bluegrass in the Park by going to the website BensonVisitorCenter.com and check out what's going on in Benson for their big event this weekend. Well, most scientists believe it is impossible to predict earthquakes. Our next guest doesn't agree with those who say there is no way to tell when or where an earthquake will hit. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is David Nabhan, author of Earthquake Prediction, Answers in Plain Sight, and two previous books on the subject. He is the individual who is currently directing a worldwide public opinion campaign to impel the governor of California to convene the California Earthquake Prediction Evaluation Council to determine the viability or fallibility of the seismic safety plan that he proposed. David, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Bill. Thanks in advance for the words with your audience. I believe Arizonans are going to find a compelling argument to be made in this segment.
You have a peer-reviewed scholarly journal that's going to be looking at your work, and it basically has to do with the possibility of earthquakes being triggered by lunar and solar gravitational tides. Do you believe that is the case?
Well, to bring your listeners up to date, and there's probably a dozen dynamics that are being studied all over the world right now regarding looking for precursors to earthquakes. You're right about the sea change that has taken place. There's still quite a number of diehards that would hold fast to this tired old impossibility routine that has been trotted out in front of the American people for so long. But there seems to be a sea change. 15 years ago, 5 years ago even, we wouldn't be having this conversation on the air, but gravitational tides, conjoined lunar and solar gravitational tides working in tandem and pulling in the same direction during certain episodes of higher probability episodes on the West Coast have, from what the data shows, have at least been an ancillary factor in all of the great quakes that have struck in Southern California between 33 and 94, between Long Beach and Northridge. So yes, I do believe that there's at least some viability to the thesis.
So you think there is growing, perhaps compelling evidence that we should take a hard look at this?
Well, your listeners will probably in the last 6 months, people the hue and cry over the L'Aquila earthquake affair, for example. People all across the world are starting to let go of this idea that, you know, I'll give you an impossibility. Proving a negative is an impossibility. Mm-hmm. And the fact that China, for the last 40 years, if you look at Asia, there's China, Japan, Burma. There are many nations on Earth that for the last 40 years have had organs of their federal governments dedicated to predicting earthquakes. So to assume that this is an impossibility would be to maintain the idea that physics is somehow different in Asia and the international dateline is a demarcation line between what we consider impossible and what the Asians consider impossible. And they've evacuated hundreds of thousands of people over the last 40 years, scant hours before earthquakes have struck. So, I believe that in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, people are going to look back at this episode of a whole century imagining that this is a problem beyond our ken, and wonder how it was that that ever came to be, because in my view, it falls in the same category with the "if God wanted man to fly, he'd have given him wings" canard that the Wright brothers proved to be such a silly detour for humanity.
Well, I spent nearly 10 years in the Bay Area in the 80s and lived through some very big quakes, including the Morgan Hill earthquake that pushed almost 7 on the Richter scale. And that's one of the reasons I wound up in Tucson, Arizona, quite honestly. We could not get earthquake insurance for our home in San Jose. And it just seemed, after living through that Morgan Hill earthquake, that it was just too scary and risky to live over there.
Well, you know, the great earthquakes, for a soundbite that your listeners could latch on to and understand very simply, this is such a simple paradigm also. The great earthquakes that struck in San Francisco that you referred to, 1906 and 1989, one at dawn and the other at dusk, 5:04 at one, 5:18 for the other. The paradigm is dawn and at dusk during certain new and full moon dates. If you look at the when the conjoined gravitational, lunar, and solar tides would be pulling in tandem and exerting the most pressure on the fractured fault lines below, these would be moments when you wouldn't be guaranteed to have an earthquake, but the probabilistic dynamics show that if one were to look for elevated probabilities, there is where you would find them. And the six great quakes that I referred to in Los Angeles over the 20th century, all of them took place at dawn or at dusk, and two-thirds of them during new and full moons at dawn and at dusk. And then the two quakes in San Francisco, again, echo that same paradigm. And the greatest earthquake that ever took place in the history of North America, the great Alaska quake that devastated Anchorage, exactly 42 minutes before the precise instant of the fullest full moon at dusk on Good Friday at 5:36 p.m. So it goes up and down the fault line, and there's plenty of evidence at least to take a look at it. As I said, there are gravitational tides are not the only game in town. There are dozens of there's hundreds of scientists in thousands of places looking at all sorts of precursors. So, but for the West Coast, in my view, this is something that the governor should take a look at.
And of course, you're doing this public outreach campaign. Yeah, I was looking at your website. You've been on talk shows literally all over the world, haven't you, David?
Well, just day before yesterday, worldwide talk radio for popular science radio, and that's the point. See, it's now getting very mainstream. You're not a wild-eyed type, and neither is popular science, and neither are the people in Charleston, South Carolina, that I spoke to 4 days ago. This is middle of the country, middle of the road, mainstream stuff now, and I'm hoping that your listeners will go to earthquakepredictors.com. Just because you live in Tucson doesn't mean that you're not going to feel the next great earthquake that takes place in Southern California, where I believe the next seismic catastrophe is going to take place on the West Coast. Everybody believes that. Tucson will feel it, and feel it strongly, economically, socially, culturally, and the Port of Los Angeles couldn't go down for 2 weeks without people in Tucson feeling it. So if people in Tucson want to weigh in and email the governor, I would appreciate that tremendously. Not saying that I'm right or wrong, just that it ought to be looked at.
Well, David, you really are on to something, and that was actually going to be my closing thought, the fact that we have had big earthquakes, believe it or not, here in Tucson, Arizona, 1887, an earthquake very strong enough to do damage at San Javier de Bac, the mission. And, of course, if there was and when there is a big earthquake, it's not an if, but when there is in Southern California, it will have a tremendous economic impact on Tucson because of shipments of freight and perhaps people deciding they're leaving California and moving to Arizona. So there will be a huge impact. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, without a doubt. You'd have to be living in a fantasy land to imagine that Tucson would be, and any other community would be immune from it, but especially Tucson.
All right.
And the Southwest.
Okay, David, we're going to wrap it up with you again. Folks can go to your website.
EarthquakePredictors.com, and my thanks also, again, Bill. It's a pleasure to speak to Southern Arizona. It's a compelling argument that I hope your listeners will take to heart and make their opinion known.
Thank you very much, David Nabhan, with us on The Buckmaster Show. Bottled water on The Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We certainly like Culligan water, and why wouldn't we, and why wouldn't our guests? Because, folks, it simply tastes better. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show from 3 to 5 on KVOI AM 1030. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, featured guests with Chris and Joe, Rob LeMaster from the Tucson Police Foundation, talking about the dog walk for canine cops, and Sir Paul McCartney's daughter, Mary McCartney, talking about her vegetarian cookbook and vegetarian cooking. That's coming up tomorrow on Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon. We'll be back with you at 12:04 tomorrow afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.